welcome to episode 100 of Tabletop Game Talk, the Kickstarter edition. This is the part of the week where we talk about the Kickstarter games we're backing, might back, and have already received and played. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
And I'm Chris. And this week we're backing Eclipse and Joust for Fun. We're watching Siege Storm, Trogdor, the board game, Game to Pick a Game, Builder, the board game. You have a lot of the board games. Vanguard of War. And we'll end with a review of Thunderstone Quest. We should make a big deal out of this being episode 100 for Kickstarter, but I think we've already made a pretty big deal out of episode 100 already.
I think we're done.
Okay. So this is
episode I've made enough of a deal.
Yeah. This is episode 100. This is the last episode we're doing ever until episode 101.
Isn't that true?
That's news.
Every episode.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, I do have some Kickstarter news, though, for this one.
Ooh. You know,
just to make it interesting. So last week, I backed Cthulhu, Death May Die, and I talked about how I couldn't get the mega miniature because it was already 250 of 250. It was all filled. But then they went and added a whole bunch of extra levels of that you could back to get this miniature, and they just kept pushing out the date that you're going to get the miniature, and I'm going to call it a megature. They just keep pushing that date out the further you go. So by the time I realized they were doing this, I'm now in the we'll send it sometime in 2035 or something like that area. So I am going to get it. I'm just not going to get it real soon. But the game itself isn't going to ship for like a year. So I think it's only like a few months after that. It's all good. In more interesting news, which I don't know if this goes into the I told you so zone. Not you. It was actually the episode with Josh where okay. We were talking about Overturn Rising Sands.
Yes.
The Kickstarter that you should probably be wary of.
Yes.
And Josh was all like, this one looks great.
Oh, it's fine. It looks amazing.
Oh, good. So Kickstarter suspended the project, which basically means is a forced cancel on Kickstarter's part. The most recent drama there was they were caught plagiarizing their rule book from copying large pieces from Massive Darkness.
Yikes. So,
yeah, they had at one point almost $400,000. And by the time that was suspended, it was under $100,000, which is still a crazy amount, but a lot of people back and forget about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So hopefully if you backed Overturn Rising Sands, no worries. It looks like all the pledges were canceled and nobody was charged for it. But yeah, that was one that was a little suspicious right from the beginning. And
it really made me start looking at comments. I hadn't really paid very much attention to that before. But once you pointed it out, I looked back at my history and almost everything I backed had zero comments, or it had like, you know, 20 comments that were things from the creator, like, we just hit a stretch goal, that yeah. kind of thing, or a quick question with a prompt answer.
Yeah, I mean, activity in the comments section is great. You just have to make sure that the activity in there is good activity.
Yeah.
So this one had over 10,000 comments. And yeah, it was probably one of the craziest. Also, probably one of the most obvious, like, something is wrong here, too, if you were paying any attention to it. But yeah, it was a mess. So yeah. We did not back that. But what I did back, see that my segue skills?
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Yeah, it's like I'm an expert at this. Yeah, I'm backing Eclipse, Second Dawn for the Galaxy. Now, this is actually like a second edition of Eclipse. Eclipse is a board game. It's a 4X board game, the all-new edition of the acclaimed 4X sci-fi strategy game. Now, I used to own this. I gave it away at Gen Con last year, I believe. Now, I'm going to get another copy. But
this is a new low for you.
No. I have a defense.
Of course you do.
Yeah. So it also has a game on the iPad, and I played it on the iPad quite often. So I'm like, well, I can play this game on the iPad. I don't necessarily need the box version of it, and the components for the box weren't all that great or anything in the game, but Eclipse Second Dawn has amazing components, and it has some streamlined rules and some extra stuff that's super cool and amazing components. I'm like, I put the word amazing in front of components. That's how good they were. So Eclipse is, if you have never played it, it's basically a random tile turnover. You can place that tile wherever you need to go, and then you have spaceships and you have different actions you can take with your spaceships. It's a 4X game. It really is. But it's just check this game out, because if you don't know what I'm talking about with Eclipse, then you have to either not like 4X games, or if you like 4X games, this is one you should look at. I want to give you kind of more information on it, but it almost is a generic 4X game, but it makes it sound terrible. I'm not doing a good job with
that. Doesn't sound
this.
Like a good thing. No.
No.
I mean, maybe it's like the definition of a 4X game. It's like the best example of a 4X game.
Maybe not the best example, but a good example.
A great example.
Yeah. So it is a longer game. So this game, it's basically 2 to 6 players. It says it can take like 1 hour to 4 hours, which, you know, if you have 6 players, it can take a while. Like I said, I mostly played this on the iPad, so it took care of all of the, the fiddliness. Bits. Taken care of with it. But so essentially what happens is you draw these tiles, and it's hex because it's space, of course. And there's these little portal connections that you can connect the tiles from. So you're kind of building this galaxy as you go. You're attempting to build up your own space stations. It's still a victory point game. You're trying to get the most victory points by the end of the game. But there's technologies, there's different ships you can upgrade. Again, I can't do this justice. Check out Eclipse. I'm going to let it speak for itself, and I'm going to take a, yeah. So that goes till July 29th. The base game's $99. The deluxe version's $149. That's Eclipse. Kitty, save me.
So this week I bagged Joust for Fun, a historically inaccurate card game. This looks so much fun. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the video for this.
I have not, but now I might have to.
Okay, so it's basically the Game of Wits scene from The Princess Bride, but redone so that they are playing Joust for Fun and explaining the game as they go, but using the lines from The Princess Bride. It's pretty great. I found it so charming that I backed their game. This is a fun, easy-to-learn card game for 2 to 4 players, full of pop culture twists, perfect puns, and a unique combat system. So you're basically playing a card that's an attack, and you can play a defense against an attack to try to block it. You're trying to win fans is how you can win the game, or you can knock out your opponents. So you do that until you're the last man standing or you've reached the certain number of fans, and you win.
So is this like a bluffing type of thing? Like, I can't play this card because you're playing this card, but if you know I'm playing that card, then you're going to play this other card.
Yeah. So you're trying to, the way you block is by playing the same number that they have. And I think you can kind of, by process of elimination, learn what kind of cards they have and what they've got in their hand. And all the cards are really fun. They have the $6 million knight, who's, you know, robotic put back together knight, and the self-rescuing princess. And they all seem really fun. And it does seem like a game where you're trying to read your opponent, but also read the deck, and tons of fun.
It looks
like a blast. It's $27, and it goes until August 5th.
Yeah, the art on this looks awesome. Like, I can't wait to play this with you. It's, you know, way below my budget, but
yes, so beneath your notice.
so beneath me. I would notice this if it had miniatures, though.
Of course.
I'm just saying. Speaking of games without
miniatures.
I'm all
about card games, though.
Well, then my next game's a card game. So mm-hmm. I actually talked about this game episodes and episodes ago. I think I did a review of it. This is a game called Siege Storm. And this is Siege Storm, the Siege Mode. Now, this game was never actually released. It was a bonus. You got the two starter decks as a bonus if you backed Lords of Hellas. My complaint about this game was that they were going to release it as a collectible card game. And even though I thought the art was great, the card quality was great, the gameplay is great, and I'll talk a little bit about that, way better than I did with Eclipse, I think. all of that was great, but there was no way that I was going to get into this if it was a CCG. Like, just, it wasn't that great. And apparently a lot of people felt the same way because they retooled it and now it is just a normal, well, not a normal, but it is a living card game or a living card game model. So an expandable card game. In this particular form, I'm all about this and I'm probably going to end up backing this even though it's still a card game. So the base game here is $29. So it's,
yeah,
again, way below my budget.
Ongoing commitment though.
Well, not necessarily, maybe, if it's successful. But you can get a bunch of stuff here. They can't see you roll your eyes. But
I think they can hear it. I think they can hear my eye rolls. They're so loud.
They probably can. But all right, so how does this game play? I will tell you. The way this basically works is you're going to have your deck. You're going to build your deck. There's some deck building rules. There's customization rules. Won't get too much into that because I don't know too much of it. I know that the box that I got had pre-built decks and they had starter cards and then advanced cards. And you were supposed to play with the starter cards first, get to know the rules, and then just pulled out the advanced cards in there and then you had a deck. But once you have your deck, you're going to be playing, every card plays as an action or as a monster, and you can play it in either way. So all these cards are dual use. In fact, they're even more than dual use, they're like triple use, because you also discard cards to pay for the cards you're playing. So if you have a cost three card in your hand, you're going to discard three cards from your hand to put that one into play. The board itself is set up with three rows that are between the two players. And on the right side, I'll have three stacks of 10 cards. And on your right side, which is my left, you'll also have three stacks of 10 cards. This is your life force. So every time you take damage, you're going to take the top card off the stack that's furthest away from you. Once you take 30 points of damage, you're going to die. Or I'm going to win, or however you want to say that so it doesn't sound so morbid. But in the middle, you have this kind of like, think of it like a road separator type of thing. So I have my front line, which is on my side. You have your front line, which is on your side. And then we have like a neutral zone card in the middle. And what we're going to do is we're going to march our creatures up the row. So if you can imagine that it's five columns wide, three rows deep. We've talked about column one being your cards, column three being the middle cards, column five being my cards. Well, I'm going to go up the right row that's empty. I'm going to play a card into that row, and you'll do a similar thing. The beginning of each turn, we slide those cards forward. Once the card slides off to your opponent's, like beyond the third row on your opponent's side, you can choose to do something with the card. You can decide to attack with it, which is basically comparing its attack to your defense. Whatever goes over will do damage to you. You can choose to defend. Well, basically, you can choose to defend with it, which keeps it in play. And every creature has like a passive ability, so that passive ability stays in play. It can also defend. If you're attacking me, it'll also defend against you. Or you can choose to basically harvest it. I don't think those are the words they use. But you take the card and you turn it into a reusable energy source. So now you're going to tap it like you would magic cards. And you don't have to disc, like if you now you want to play that three card. Well, if you have one of those cards in front of you, you can tap it and then you only have to discard two cards. So it's kind of a way of building up your power pool. And that's the whole game. It's looks really fast and easy to play. It also, this particular version includes a solo mode and a co-op mode, which is also pretty cool. And I say the art on it is really, really, like, it's, I don't want to use the term generic fantasy, but it is basically generic fantasy art, but it's really well done generic fantasy art. So that is Siege Storm. Like I said, it's $29 for the base game, $39 for the base game plus expansions. There's a bunch of different add-ons where you can add on some different solo factions and or solo slash co-op factions and things like that. So you can probably spend $100 on this if you really tried. I won't have to try that hard. It goes till August 1st, and that is what I got. All right, this next one looks fun for you to say.
Trogdor, the board game. Help the beefy armed dragon Trogdor burninate the countryside in this cooperative game of burnination, majesty, and the consummate V's.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes. I was a huge fan of Homestar Runner, and I saw this and was like, I don't know. Are they just trying to get me with my love of Homestar Runner to buy things with Trogdor stamped all over them. Yes. But it does look like a fun game. It's a co-op game, which it doesn't seem to do a lot to address kind of the issues of co-op games. It looks like it would be very prone to alpha player, very one-dimensional.
Kind of like a single-player game. Yeah, single-player game where you can have multiple people controlling characters.
Yes. So basically everyone gets a turn to move the burning dragon around the board and try to set everything on fire. It looks so fun. Trogdor is a dragon with a beefy muscle arm and some tiny wings. And he is the burninator, and he burns everything. And he sets the countryside on fire. And that's what he does. And if you don't know Trogdor, stop right now. Pause your podcast. Go Google Trogdor and watch the Strong Bad email about Trogdor. It is great. It will make you giggle. Also, you should just watch everything Homestar Runner ever. It's all funny. There's some really good inside jokes in this campaign, and it looks great. But, you know, I know that they're getting me. They've got me. And I saw somebody on Facebook that I'm friends with post this game and say, like, are they just trying to get me? Oh, wait, they already did. They got me. This brand is so fun. I will pay for whatever.
Wait a minute. I see that there's two different pricing levels here.
So for $40, you can get the meeple version. They're double-sided meeples. So one side looks like a little hut and the other side looks like a burning little hut. And there's peasants and there's a little thing that goes on top of the peasant's head that's like a burning hat. So when you set the peasant on fire, they get a little burning meeple hat. And that looks pretty cool. And then there's also, for $60, you get miniatures of everything.
And they look pre-painted.
They look pretty nice. And then if you pay even more, I don't know if you noticed, I didn't put these ones in the notes, but you can get a wooden board that your tiles fit into for more and more with fancier and fancier options, which I'm not going to do.
Okay, but I would just like to say one ridiculous thing here. So, yes, it goes up. So, $60 is the miniature. For $200, you get a wormwood. It's the wormwood beefy level. Everything from the Burninator level plus handcrafted wooden game board made of cherry by Artisan Wormwood Gaming. That's fine. 227 backers have backed this at $200. The next level is the Majesty level. And that gives you a game board box and accessories made of cherry. That's 44 people. The next one up is $1,800. Everything from that I just mentioned. So you get the game board, the box, accessories made from luxurious wooden materials, plus a built-in Lazy Susan. There are 13 people who are backing this at $1,800. That's insane.
I wonder if there's other games that you can play with this, because it does just look like the board you lay tiles in. So I don't know if there's something else that this could be used for that it would make sense. I don't know, but I'm certainly not going to back it for $1,800, no matter how cool the carved wooden box with the art is.
Well, if you're a Trogdor fan and you want to have a lot of cherry wood in your Trogdorness, this is the one for you. Wow. Okay, goes till August 15th.
Yes. You've got time. All right. Check it out.
This next one is going to be easy and quick. So this is, it's called Game to Pick a Game. And the reason why this is even on here is because it's by Chip Theory Games. They're the ones that do the games that have all the poker chips. They did Too Many Bones, and there's one Hoplite or Hoppa something. Like, I don't remember the name because I didn't get it, but it's Hoppa something. It's a combat thing. And I love these guys. These guys just go crazy with the poker chips. They love poker chips. And apparently they found a problem saying, hey, sometimes you're with a group and one person wants to play one game and one person wants to play another game and this other person wants to play another game, and you can't really figure out what game we're going to play. So we're going to make a game that helps you decide which game to play. And the whole point of this, it is to bet on the game you want to play, not necessarily the one you recommended, just the one you want to play. And it's kind of this blind bluffing type of thing. And there's some powers and manipulation. And then at the end of this game, which only takes maybe 5 minutes to play, if that, then you'll know what game you're going to play. It's sort of silly. Now, the way the game plays, you have a +2. So imagine you have poker chips and the different sides can be +2, -1, or a +/-, which inverts your total to the other way. Each plus, there's two +2s, each with a -1 and a +/- on the other one. There's two -1s with a +2 and a +/- on the other. And each +1 has a -1 and a +2. So you can put it down there. You never know what the other side is. And it's the other side that matters. So you have a little bit of information, but you don't have all the information for it. So if you put a +/- up, I know that that's going to be a -1 or a +2. If you put a -1 up later, then I know the +/- is a 2. So there's this kind of deduction thing. And then each character has their own powers that can kind of manipulate the board a little bit more. It seems like kind of a fun game just to play, even if you weren't playing for its purpose. And it's not super crazy expensive. It's $20 for one set, which I think there's two different sets. There's the like the darker ogre set, and then the lighter, like the casual game set. It's a little more cartoonish or meeple-ish, I guess. So it's $20 if you want to get one version, and it is $35 if you want to get both versions. And they call it the Orc Council and the Gateway Edition. And the Gateway one is more of like, you know, just cartoony board game art versus the darker orc art. Goes till July 26th, and that is Game to Pick a Game by Chip Theory Games.
All right. You. I picked Builder is the game to watch this week. It looks so cool. This is a guessing game where you're using these blocks that are incredibly variable shapes. There are like meeples and squiggles and buildings, and you're trying to use these blocks to act something out that you're getting other people to guess. And you're given a word, and it can be anything from a person, like a lumberjack was one of their ones they showed on the video. And they talk about rocket launches and that kind of thing. You're trying to get people to guess. Basically, you're playing charades with all of these little block pieces that are totally cool shaped. And it looks really neat. And they have simple words as part of the base game. And then you can also get more complex words. So the example was, in the simple version, you would get rocket launch. But in the complex version, you would get Apollo 13. So you have to not just, oh, it's a rocket. You have to put the disaster in there. And this just looked really cool.
Yeah, this is really cool. I just want the little meeples.
Right?
They have meeple hats. So they have like different meeples and a meeple dog and all of this. But then you can put like a crown on it, or you can put like a little pointy hat or a little top hat or flames. Like it has a meeple flame hat.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Just the blocks, like the little building guys, are really neat. And you can get extra sets of them, and it looks really fun, and it plays 2 to 12 people, which is great. This looks like so much more fun than a lot of dumb party games, which shall not be spoken of. This looks like it would be so much cooler to pull out.
And it says his age is 10 to 99. So if you're 100 years old, too bad.
Forget it.
You're done. You can't build anything anymore.
They can't play a lot of games.
Yeah. No, this looks totally really excluded. Cool. And I bet you that you could like make your own cards too. If you wanted to go younger and try to like, you know, what they really need is like a kids edition, like 6+, where they can see things that they would know how to build. And because it's kind of like Dexterity Pictionary.
Yes.
This looks cool. All right. Give us the rest of the deets.
All right. It ends August 1st. And the levels to back to get the game, the cards, more blocks vary from around $41 to $70, depending on what you pick.
And the trans, yeah.
And it's called Builder, and it is spelled just like Builder without the U.
Oh, B-I-L-D-E-R, because you have to be able to trademark it. All right, my next one here is Vanguard of War, tower defense board game with zombies. So a couple things about this game. First, I'm going to say what it is, and then I'm going to say my pet peeves about it. So spoiler alert, I'm giving you pet peeves about this one, because this is a game that I would absolutely love to back. This has, like, right out of the gate, it has like 50 meeples, or not meeples, 50 miniatures in the box, and then you can get all these expansions and get all these extra miniatures, and it's amazing. So it is. What it is, though, it's a relatively simple gameplay, and this is a reprint, so this has actually existed before. You can find out all kinds of information on BGG and see how to play and things like that, but this one is tower defense board game with zombies. The last one didn't have the zombies, so the zombie adds more minions and a different boss. But the way this game is going to play is you are going to create a team of four heroes, and then there's going to be spawn points on the board where minions and, you know, mini boss monsters are going to come on the board. And they're trying to get to the center of the board and take down the church that you're trying to defend against. They do their typical tower defense marching thing in order, and you're going to keep fighting waves of them until the big boss shows up. And when you kill the big boss, then yay, everyone heals, you reset, and I guess you start another, like, larger wave. This is full co-op, and you can play 1 to 6 players with it. I'm not 100% sure how you get to 6 players. I guess what I've seen, there's like 4 heroes on the board, but I guess maybe you can go to 6 heroes. So in general, I think I like tower defense-y type of things. You have hero cards that you can power up and level up. The different minions, so you have a mini boss that comes out, and then you put minions on there as well, and the minions will power up the mini boss. So I think that's kind of a cool mechanic. I have 2 pet peeves with this. One is about the campaign, and one is about the components. The campaign, and in all honesty, the reason I'm not going to back this, has a promo. So if you were a backer in the first 48 hours... you could get a hero with 2 special hero cards, an equipment card, etc., which is a reward that you can only get if you back this in the first 48 hours. Kickstarter people, whoever wants to run a Kickstarter, never, ever, ever do this. This is terrible, because now I look at this, and this is a game where it has tons and tons of add-ons. So the base game is $99. It's a ton of miniatures. It's probably worth it by itself. But there's like a ton of like boss add-ons and hero add-ons that are like $20 a piece. And by the end, you can spend $350 on this game. But let's say I spent $350 on this game, but I didn't see it until hour 49. I still don't have all the pieces. That to me is a deal breaker. Even if I don't, well, I guess if you just cared about the base game, it really wouldn't matter. But if I'm like, the reason I back Kickstarters is so I can be rewarded for getting in early. And this just feels like a slap in the face.
You didn't get in early enough early, Chris.
Yeah. Yep. Now, don't get me wrong. I am fine when people say, hey, early bird bonus, you get this particular hero for free. That is fine. I didn't back it in the first 24 hours, so I have to spend an extra $10 or whatever to get the free thing that everyone else got. Early bird discounts, 100% okay with those. Yeah. It's a way of like, yeah, builds up the, you know, campaign at the beginning. But to have an exclusive on your early bird, that hurts me. That just hurts me. But the second thing that bothers me, and this is more of a component thing. So they have the miniatures for the heroes are gray plastic, which is fine. The miniatures for the enemies are brown plastic, which is great. I like being able to tell the difference between the two. But the miniatures for the bosses are gray again. And I'm just like, I mean, maybe it's not a big deal, but when you have so much plastic on the board and you're trying to, like, there's a color coding so you can tell which is which, stick with that color coding. Don't give me my heroes are gray, my enemies are brown, except for some of my enemies, which are going to be gray again, because I don't know.
It gets confusing. Also, it just sounds like a muddy looking board. What's wrong with green? What's wrong with so many other colors?
Well, and that could be like, this is a zombie edition, right? So you could throw some zombies in there. But I think actually, if I'm looking at this correctly, the zombies are all gray. So now you have brown for some. Actually, nope, not true. Some of the zombies are kind of a red, but there are a bunch of gray ones too. I don't know. Anyway, this is just me being really nitpicky. Honestly, that would not...
I haven't even looked at it, but I'm totally on board with being nitpicky. You know me.
Yeah. Well, and that honestly wouldn't stop me from backing the game. You know, if I really, really liked it, I'd probably just give them all a wash anyway and then paint the bases the colors I'd want them to be. But the thing that stops me from backing it is, quite honestly, the exclusive on the first 48 hours. So, and I don't even know how they walk that back. I don't think they could, because it's like 48-hour bonus exclusive or something. But I don't think anyone would be upset if suddenly it's like, oh, I can get, for $20, I can get the exclusive that everyone else got for free if they backed in the first 48 hours. They also make it like that it's the very top of the page. It's just this spinning little miniature sitting here saying early wave call. And you can't have this anymore. It should be flashing in yellow blinking letters right on top of it.
That's the thing that bothers me, is when there's the early bird exclusive that has already passed. You don't need to be advertising it anymore. It's just like, you missed out. You missed out in blinking letters.
Yeah. So this one just is like a really cool miniature too. It's like this medic, and his name is Dr. Crusher, but I have no relation.
Starting to get a little salty there.
Okay, that was Vanguard of War. You should probably go back this if you like tower defense games and you like miniatures. It does look like a good tower defense game. However, just don't just get your hopes up that you're going to get Dr. Crusher. All right, you don't have any more for us?
No, that was it. It was a slow week for me.
That's right.
I didn't sleep very much. I've been unpacking. But I had a few moments to look through and still find a couple gems.
All right. Well, I am going to give us a bonus watching slash review. I think I did this last week or the week before, because Thunderstone Quest is now back on Kickstarter. So this was on Kickstarter last year. We actually did an interview with, I think the... the CEO of AEG talking about Thunderstone Quest, which I was super looking forward to. It when I got this box, it's probably it's second or third of like box size. I mean, it competes with Gloomhaven. It's huge and it's heavy, and there's a ton of cards in here. Now, what Thunderstone is, and this is actually the third iteration of Thunderstone. There was Thunderstone, Thunderstone Advance, and now Thunderstone Quest. Thunderstone Advance was an update of iconography of Thunderstone, but they were compatible. The cards looked different, but all of the gameplay elements were compatible. Thunderstone Quest, you can probably think of that as a second edition. It is not compatible with anything that came before it. But they basically reprinted everything. So the way this plays is a pure deck-building game. It came out... It was one of the first ones that came out after Dominion as far as deck builders were concerned. And it is a fantasy theme. So what happens here, you have a town that has four different heroes. And those heroes are cards that you can purchase and put into your deck. You also have eight different items. You can have weapons, armor, spells, miscellaneous items. And all of these are kind of randomized. But with Thunderstone Quest, it's... They're not randomized. You can go through a quest book, which tells you how to set up the board. In addition, there is a dungeon section, or there's also wilderness, but that's above the dungeon. And you can, so you get to decide, do you want to hang out in town where you can purchase cards and heal and do miscellaneous things like that? Or do you want to go to the dungeon where you can fight monsters with your equipment and stuff? And you can stay in the dungeon as long as you want. Each turn, at the beginning of your turn, you're going to decide, do you return to town or do you go to the dungeon? But if you're in the dungeon, you can move deeper into the dungeon because you need light to be able to move around in the dungeon. But the downside to it is you're getting hurt. So if your health goes down too low, then bad things happen and you get pushed back to town and you're going to lose some points. So you want to you want to power yourself up. You want to be in the dungeon. You want to get in there, and eventually you're going to make it to the big boss. Once the big boss is revealed, everyone has a chance to try to get points from him and kill the big boss. At the end, the person with the most victory points wins. It's awesome.
As you describe it, it sounds a little bit like Near and Far. the town and explore works, but obviously with a deck building component built in there and more of a dungeon theme than Near and Far has.
It's actually not that different than Near and Far. Now, Near and Far has lots of little points you can go on the map below. This has six different rooms. So each, there's three levels, and each level has two rooms you can go into. When you go into a room, it'll cost you something or some bad thing usually you have to pay for. And then if you defeat the monster, something good happens. But yeah, a little bit of that concept where you're balancing going out and adventuring versus what you're doing in the town. Now, the expansion. So that's Thunderstone Quest. I really, really like this game. I've liked it since the first time I played it. Thunderstone Quest does an amazing job packaging it. It's like the components are fantastic. I recommend that if you do back this, back the sleeves as well, because then the sleeves are really cheap with the campaign and the sleeves are really good quality. And this is a type of game where there's so much shuffling, you kind of want to sleeve them if you're going to play it. But the expansion adds solo mode and co-op modes and more quests. Now, solo and co-op are one of the biggest things that was requested in the original Kickstarter, but they weren't happy with the rules they came up with. Well, now they have rules for solo and co-op play. And I can't wait to play those rules. I have no idea how they play. I didn't look that close. This is a review. But this does go till August 17th. And by the time I tell you I back it, which will be in the next couple of weeks, I will tell you all about how the solo and co-op play works at that point. The expansion is only $50. So if you already have Thunderstone Quest and you just want the expansion, it's just $50, which adds your solo, co-op, and some stretch goals and some extra quests. If you want the base game, it's $100. You can get both for $150. There's no discount, but you can get them both. And they did have 1,000 copies of Thunderstone Quest available, so you could back that level. And if you did, you'd get Thunderstone Quest early, but I think that that is going to be all sold out by the time you hear this. So unless you get lucky where someone drops it and you're able to get in, you're probably going to have to wait for the second printing. So that was Thunderstone Quest. I think that's everything.
Yeah, we only went 7 minutes long this time.
Well, I'm going to add another minute because this is episode 100 and episode 101. If you did not listen to our topic episode, which according to the survey, everyone does, and only a subset listens to the Kickstarter. But if you did not listen to that episode, we are going to have the Kickstarter edition is going to be its own thing. So episode 101, we're going to change the format ever so slightly. This is actually probably going to change almost not at all. Kitty is our permanent co-host unless we have to change it for reasons of scheduling. But it's just going to be Kitty and I. And Yay. And we're really looking forward to it. So we will keep doing this every week. Starting in episode 101, we will also be talking about it being in its own channel and be asking you for your reviews and for iTunes reviews and things like that. But for now, everything's under the Tabletop Game Talk. And you don't have to do anything if you want to keep listening. Just keep your dial where it's at and you'll keep getting flooded with content from us. All right. Now you can talk.
Okay, thanks for listening. And if you missed this week's topic episode, which was really just us talking about 100 episodes, or any of our other episodes, you can find them all at tabletopgametalk.com. And of course, you can subscribe to us wherever you find your podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook at @TabletopGameTalkPodcast, Twitter at @TabletopGameTLK, Chris is at @GameMasterChris, and I'm at @LawfulGoodMom. If you have a Kickstarter you think we should check out, email us at podcast@tabletopgametalk.com with the subject Kickstarter. Finally, thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jiljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC. Until our next week, keep playing games and having fun.
Good night.